Hello, and welcome back to The Invisible Ledger. I'm Alex. It is Monday, February 16th, 2026. And if you are listening to this, there is a very good chance you are sitting in a car or at a desk, wondering why the world of regional banking suddenly feels like it's moving at the speed of light.
And, more importantly, why it feels like the ground is shifting under your feet while you're trying to keep the bank steady. I'm Mike. Good to be here, Alex.
Great to have you, Mike. Today, we are tackling a subject that I think a lot of executives are secretly terrified of, but maybe too polite to admit in the boardroom. We're talking about AI governance, but not the fluffy high-level stuff. We are talking about the gritty reality of what is actually running on your servers right now.
Exactly. You know, Alex, if I walked into a board meeting at a typical regional bank today, let's say a solid institution, $15 billion in assets, and I asked the CEO, how many AI models are running inside your bank right now? What do you think they'd say?
Oh, I've asked this. They usually give a very confident, very precise number. They'll say, we have 12, or maybe we have 14. They list them out. The credit scoring model, the fraud detection tool, maybe that new chatbot they're piloting in customer service.
12. It sounds manageable, doesn't it? It sounds like something you can wrap your arms around.
It does, but I have a feeling you're about to burst that bubble.
I am. Because that number is almost always wrong. And not just a little wrong. We're talking orders of magnitude wrong. When the team at PyTech Solutions goes in and actually lifts the hood, when they do the deep dive inventory, they don't find 12. They find 60, sometimes 80. In one recent case, they found over 150 distinct AI touchpoints.
150 versus 12? That is a massive delta. That's not a rounding error, Mike. That's a blind spot the size of the entire IT department. Where are they hiding?
That is the question of the hour, and that is exactly why we need to talk about PyTech Solutions and this concept of the invisible ledger. Because in 2026, the risk isn't just the AI you decide to build. It's the AI you bought, the AI your employees brought in on their phones, and the AI that is currently making decisions about your liquidity stress testing without a human in the loop.
It's terrifying when you put it that way. So let's peel this onion. If a bank thinks they have 12 models, but they actually have 150, where is the disconnect? Is it just incompetence?
No, absolutely not. It's not incompetence. It's evolution. The biggest hiding spot is what PyTech calls vendor-embedded AI. This is the silent killer for governance. Think about the software stack a regional bank relies on. You have your core banking platform, your Fiservs, your Jack Henry's. You have a loan origination system, maybe nCino or Abrigo. You have financial crime software like Verafin.
Right, that's standard operating procedure. You buy the best-in-class software to run the bank.
Correct, but here is the catch. Over the last 3 years, all those vendors have been in an arms race. They have been embedding machine learning into their products to stay competitive. So you think you're just buying a routine software update for your loan origination system to handle document uploads better. But inside that update, there is an OCR engine using machine learning to classify documents, or worse, an income estimation model that uses predictive analytics to verify borrower stability.
I see. So because the bank didn't build it, because they didn't write the Python code themselves, they don't count it as their model?
Bingo. They don't even know it's there. It's a feature, not a model in their eyes. But here is the rabbit hole that keeps chief risk officers up at night. The regulators, the OCC, the Fed, they do not care who built it.
This goes back to SR 117, right? The guidance on model risk management?
Exactly. Under SR 117, and the third-party risk management guidance, if a model influences a bank decision, financial or operational, the bank is responsible for validating it. It doesn't matter if you bought it, built it, or if a wizard dropped it on your doorstep. If it touches your money or your customer, you own the risk.
But wait, play devil's advocate with me here, Mike. If I'm a bank CIO and I signed a contract with a major vendor, doesn't that vendor have to tell me how the model works? Don't they send me the documentation?
You would hope so. But this is where we get into the weeds of contract law versus regulatory reality. Think about when those contracts were signed. 5 years ago? 10 years ago? Those agreements have clauses for uptime, for data privacy, for service levels. They do not have clauses for algorithmic transparency or model audit rights.
So the vendor says, trust us, it works, and the regulator says, show me the math.
And the bank is stuck in the middle. We call it the contractual audit gap.
One of the first things PieTech does when they go in for an assessment is review those vendor contracts. They often find that banks have zero legal right to see the validation data of the models they are using to deny loans. That is a fair lending violation waiting to happen.
That is a nightmare. You're flying blind on instruments that you aren't allowed to inspect. But let's go deeper into the tech stack. I was reading the PieTech Hidden AI Footprint report, and they mentioned something about the infrastructure itself changing. Something about vector databases?
Oh yes, this is a topic that rarely makes it to the boardroom, but it is critical. To run generative AI, like a RAG system, that's retrieval augmented generation, where you chat with your own bank's policies, you need a new type of database, a vector database.
Okay, for the non-technical listener, and for me, honestly, explain that. How is it different from the databases banks have used for 30 years?
Sure. Traditional databases, SQL, Oracle, they store text and numbers in rows and columns. It's rigid. A vector database like Pinecone or Weaviate stores embeddings. These are long strings of numbers that represent the meaning of the text, the semantic DNA of the data.
The semantic DNA. That sounds intimate.
It is. And here's the security angle that PieTech specializes in. If I hack your traditional SQL database, I might get a bunch of encrypted fields. It's messy. But if I hack your vector database, I am getting the conceptual map of your institution's private documents. And here is the kicker. Many of these vector stores are new technology. They are cutting edge. They don't always have the mature, row-level security controls that banks are used to in SQL Server.
So a regional bank might be spinning up a vector DB to power an internal chatbot, thinking it's just a harmless search tool, but they've actually created a massive searchable repository of their most sensitive IP with weaker locks on the door.
Precisely. PieTech categorizes this under Domain 5 data infrastructure in their assessment. They often find that data lineage breaks down here. The bank knows where the PDF is stored. They don't know where the embedding of that PDF is stored or who has access to query it. It's a black hole in the security perimeter.
It sounds like we're moving from managing files to managing meaning, and the tools aren't quite ready for prime time in a regulated industry. But we've talked about the tech. Let's talk about the people, the employees.
The human factor.
The shadow AI problem. Is this just people using ChatGPT on their work laptops, or has it evolved past that?
It's evolved significantly. It's not just ChatGPT anymore. It's the Excel problem on steroids. You have junior analysts, smart kids, fresh out of college, using tools like GitHub Copilot or advanced Python scripts generated by AI to build credit risk models right on their desktops.
But shadow IT has always been a thing. People have always built spreadsheets the IT department didn't know about.
True, but shadow AI is different because of data leakage. If an employee uploads a spreadsheet of loan applicants to a public large language model to summarize the risk profile, that data has left the bank's perimeter. It is potentially training a public model. The data doesn't just sit on a rogue server. It gets absorbed into the collective intelligence of the internet.
And I assume most banks have a policy against this?
They have a policy. They rarely have enforcement. During assessments, PieTech scans network traffic and endpoint logs. They find massive usage of tools like Grammarly, Jasper, Otter.ai, tools that record meetings, read keystrokes. These are productivity tools, yes, but they are also data siphons. A regional bank with $20 billion in assets cannot afford to have its ALCO meeting transcript residing on a startup server in Silicon Valley because someone turned on an AI note taker.
That is a specific kind of horror. The ALCO meeting, Asset Liability Committee, that is the heart of the bank. If that data leaks, you're talking about insider trading risks, strategic leaks. It's huge.
Exactly. And this brings us to the newest frontier. We've talked about 2024 tech. Now let's talk about 2026 tech, agentic AI.
I've been hearing this buzzword, agentic. What does that actually mean in a banking context?
It's the shift from tools to workers. A tool, like a chatbot, waits for you to click a button or ask a question. An agent is given a goal. Say, investigate this suspicious transaction, and it figures out the steps on its own. It might query a database, cross-reference a watch list, draft a suspicious activity report, a SAR, and even email a customer.
It's taking action. It's autonomous.
Multi-step autonomous action. And this breaks traditional governance frameworks. Most banking governance is based on a human-in-the-loop model. you review the output before it goes out. But agentic AI operates at a speed and scale where human review of every step is physically impossible.
So how do you govern that? If the machine is moving faster than the human, do we just hope for the best?
You have to govern the outcome and the guardrails, not just the input. This is where PyTech's background really shines. You know they come from the defense sector, right?
I did read that. They do work with the DoD?
Extensively. And in the DoD, they have concepts for autonomous weapon systems. It sounds intense to apply that to banking, but the logic holds perfectly. You need kill switches. You need strict allow lists for what APIs the agent can touch. If an AI agent handling wire transfers starts hallucinating, you can't wait for a weekly audit report. You need automated circuit breakers that cut the line instantly.
That makes sense. You treat the AI like a junior employee with a loaded weapon. You don't just give them the keys and walk away.
Right. And this brings us to the regulatory hammer. Why does this matter now? Why can't we just wait until next year to figure this out?
Yeah, what are the regulators actually doing? Are they just issuing warnings or are they biting?
The grace period is over, Alex. The OCC and the Fed are actively incorporating AI procedures into their exams. They are looking for three things: inventory, explainability, and accountability.
Walk me through those.
First, inventory. Can you list every AI model you have? If you miss 50% of them, those vendor models we talked about, you fail. It's that simple.
Pass, fail. Got it.
Second, explainability. If your AI denies a loan, can you explain exactly why? The computer said so is an automatic violation of the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. You need to show the math, even if the math is complex.
Which is hard with neural networks.
Extremely hard. And finally, accountability. Is the board of directors overseeing this? We often see AI treated as an IT issue. The CIO handles it. But AI is a strategic risk. If a pricing algorithm starts discriminating against a protected class, that is a reputational nuclear bomb. That is a board issue. Regulators expect to see board minutes reflecting discussions on AI risk appetite. If those minutes don't exist, that's an MRA, a matter requiring attention.
And nobody wants an MRA letter landing on their desk on a Friday afternoon.
Nobody.
So I'm listening to this, and I'm a regional bank COO. I'm sweating a little. I know I have these gaps. I know I have shadow AI running on my network. I know I can't just hire a generic consultant who's going to give me a PowerPoint deck and leave. Why PyTech? What makes them different from the big four consulting firms?
There are two reasons, Alex. One is their DNA, and the other is their specific experience. First, the DNA. PyTech Solutions is a defense contractor at heart. They hold CMMI Level 3 certification. They are ISO 27001 and 9100 certified. Their team has active government security clearances. They work with the DHS.
Which means they treat data security differently than a marketing agency.
They treat banking data like national secrets, because to the bank, they are. They apply the same rigorous protocols, zero trust, rigorous change management, adversarial stress testing, that they use for federal clients.
And the second reason?
They know regional banking. Their executive team has over 90 years of combined banking leadership. They didn't learn how a bank works by reading a book. They've been the CIOs and CROs. They know that a regional bank doesn't have the budget of JPMorgan Chase. You can't just throw 500 data scientists at the problem. You need a solution that fits your scale.
I saw a phrase on their website that stuck with me. We don't learn banking on your dime.
Exactly. They skip the what is a core banking system phase and go straight to the how is Fiserv's new API impacting your liquidity model phase. That speed is crucial.
Speaking of speed, they offer an AI governance assessment. Walk me through that. Is this a 6-month engagement where they move into the conference room and drink all the coffee?
God, no. Regional banks move too fast for that. Their assessment is a 15-day sprint. It's designed to be high impact and low disruption.
15 days? That seems incredibly fast for the amount of digging they do.
It is, but they use a hybrid model. They have an AI-powered survey platform that gathers data across 8 domains: strategy, inventory, security, ethics, and so on. That handles the heavy lifting of data collection. Then their senior consultants, the humans, come in for targeted deep dive interviews to find the rabbit holes we discussed earlier.
So they use AI to govern AI. I like that.
By day 15, they deliver a complete state of the union. You get your full inventory, which is usually 2 to 3 times what you thought it was, a risk heat map, and a prioritized roadmap. They tell you what you need to fix this week to avoid regulatory action and what you can plan for next year.
That actionable roadmap is key. You don't just want a list of problems. You want the triage order. Now, before we wrap up, I want to circle back to one thing, the ethics piece. Domain 5 in their guide, Ethics, Bias, and Fair Lending. This feels like the area where technology meets sociology. How does PyTech handle this?
This is the most complex area. You can have a model that is mathematically accurate, but socially biased. For example, PyTech looks at proxy variables. Your model might not look at race, which is illegal, but does it look at magazine subscriptions or zip code density in a way that correlates 99% with race?
Right. Digital redlining.
Standard validation tools often miss this. PyTech uses adversarial bias testing. They attack the model. They try to force it to be racist. They try to force it to redline. If they can break it, they know a regulator or a plaintiff's attorney can break it.
That's that defense contractor mindset again. Red teaming your own bank. Better you find it than the headlines do.
100%. You want to break your own system in a controlled environment, not in the public square.
Mike, final thoughts for the executive listening to this while driving to work. What is the one thing they should do when they get to the office today?
Ask for the list. Go to your CIO or your head of data and ask, do we have a complete inventory of every AI model, including the ones inside our vendor software? If they hesitate, or if they hand you a list of 10 items, you have a governance gap. And in this regulatory environment, a gap is a liability you cannot afford.
The invisible ledger isn't just about technology. It's about safety, soundness, and the future of the franchise. Mike, thank you for taking us down the rabbit hole today.
Thanks for having me, Alex. It's a brave new world out there.
And for our listeners, if you want to see the full hidden AI footprint report we discussed, or if you want to take a free 3-minute readiness check to see where you stand, head over to pitechsol.com. That's PITECHSOL.com. Don't let your AI ecosystem manage you. I'm Alex, and this has been The Invisible Ledger. Stay safe out there.